BonnevilleTampa.com. This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Robert Rodriguez, who is the CEO of Security Innovation Network. How are you, Robert?
Doing great. Thank you for your time.
Great. The reason we have Robert on the air, because this week there's an adventure in town. It's a pretty big show at the National Press Club. And Cynet, or Security Innovation Network, is involved in it. And what it does is it's bringing a bunch of different innovators in town for the benefit of my listeners. And I'll let Robert maybe explain a little bit more of that. But all of my listeners want to know the little up-close and personal part about you. And how did you wind up working for this organization? And perhaps a little bit about Cynet. And why San Francisco, of all places, Robert?
Yeah, so I'm a retired Secret Service agent in 2001. I was promoted to run the operations for Northern California. In addition to that, start the first task force for the Secret Service in California, which was called the Electronic Crimes Task Force, a public-private partnership initiative. What that meant was reaching out to the industry, the academic community, and bringing them into a relationship that was trust-based, mutually beneficial, and top-down, bottom-up, all focused in the cybersecurity space.
Interesting. That's great. So more information, my listeners can go to security-innovation.org and read all the information. And if you go to that website, it talks about federal agencies, systems integrators, innovators, entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, academics, scientists, I don't know, football players. I mean, you're really throwing out the big net here, aren't you?
Well, if you think about the ecosystem of an entrepreneur and who that encompasses, if you go to our forums, our showcase, the buyers, the researchers, the investors, and the builders will be in the room. So in the investment banking community, they're looking at the next merger and acquisition. The IPO market's somewhat down, right? The venture capitalists are looking at the next great thing to invest in. The researchers from academia or science are looking at what's interesting in terms of innovation. Maybe we can partner with some of these best-of-class solution providers. And then, of course, the entrepreneurs, the innovators themselves, and then the buyers. Industry, government, and in particular in the Beltway, the system integration community.
Yeah, that's my bias, of course. I live in Washington, D.C. A lot of my guests are from this area. And to tell you the truth, I don't go outside this area very much. But I think that could be limiting. If you look at these companies you're going to have there's going to be 20 companies presenting. Most of them are from outside the Beltway, and that could bring in some fresh blood, some fresh air, some new ways of looking at these serious problems.
Absolutely. That is really our goal. Our goal is to bridge the gap between Silicon Valley and the Beltway. Truly, it's just a metaphor for Silicon Valley representing innovation across the globe, whether it's in Shanghai or Utah or Chicago. There's a great divide between the defense industrial base and our innovators and emerging growth companies. Quite frankly, we're probably missing the div is defense industrial base between 50 and 70% of all early stage and emerging growth cybersecurity companies in the North American market.
Yeah, interesting. So tell us a little about this conference coming up, CINET, and who's going to be there. And my listeners, a lot of federal program managers, and they're tossing around looking for solutions, and they may want to visit just to find out some of the things that are new. Talk about the big funnel that started, and you wound up with 20 companies, and how you wound up selecting those, please.
Sure. So we started this process over a year ago, and I put together a steering committee of 42 people, specifically from venture capital, industry, government, intel, and academia. And we've divided up the teams into four vetting teams. We had 136 companies apply, went through a pretty rigorous process, and selected 20 to go on stage. So I think what gives us credibility is the former CIO of Department of Defense, John Grimes, a former Information Assurance Director at NSA, Dick Schaefer, and then Bob Lentz from DOD, former CTO of the CIA and DIA, and then some industry CISOs, et cetera. These are the people that were on the front lines that really understand the needs and requirements, and were part of this vetting team.
And so they reviewed a lot of the applications. They came up with, instead of a top 10 list, a top 20 list, huh?
Yes, it was, quite frankly, it was challenging to stay to 20. There's a lot of interesting technologies and companies coming out with solutions, and you know, it was exciting, but at the same time, it was kind of hard.
You know, Robert, I'm a lot older than you. I've seen a lot of changes here in the last 20 years in the world of technology. But, you know, I can honestly say in the last 3 or 4 years, it's almost like it's speeded up. It's like it's stepping the gas is going, and everything's going so much faster, and things are changing, and the new mobile world, and all of a sudden social networking. It just seems like everything is speeded up, and it's difficult for my listeners to set a policy in this rapidly changing environment, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. We are going through technological and cultural shifts that are transforming the Beltway. It is moving much faster than the days of old, and it's the next generation of users that are driving this, our cloud computing, Gov 2.0, proliferation of connected devices, cell phones, PDAs, et cetera, and the speed of technology is outpacing policy and governance. And on top of that, the social and cultural behavior is driving security. So we need to innovate. We need to explore new opportunities. We need to move faster, embrace new models, and increase awareness of available emerging growth solutions out on the marketplace.
You know, social and cultural change. I tell you, you know, I was at the Department of State a few weeks back and was at a meeting there, and they said there's 5 billion phones out there in the world. I mean, it's staggering. 10 years ago, I would never have bet that. I mean, and many of these phones can access information, which increases all kinds of security risks for my listeners, doesn't it?
Right, and we're soon to go to 12 to 14 billion in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's just incredible. So it's going to take place at the National Press Club. And tell me what kind of people you are targeting to attend this event coming up.
Anybody that has interest in the latest and greatest or innovation that's going to be highlighted and selected again by what I would call subject matter experts.
Mm-hmm.
So any researcher, investor, builder, buyer in the cybersecurity space should have interest in this. This space, cyber, is getting extremely hot. If you pay attention to the acquisitions that's occurred in the last 115 days, there's been 20.
Wow.
And we're looking at roughly a valuation of over $10 billion. And some of the multiples on these acquisitions are back to the dot-com days almost.
Wow, that's incredible.
Everything from McAfee and ArcSight, Big Fix, and the other 17.
Strange many out in your neck of the woods in California, huh?
Right.
That's right. Kind of interesting. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the CINET conference coming up, what kind of folks should attend, what kind of presentations will take place there, and maybe give my listeners a little fresh and new take on computer security. If they have issues or concerns and want to see something new and different, this might be a good conference for them to attend. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Robert Rodriguez, CEO of Security Innovation Network.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Today we're speaking with Robert Rodriguez, the CEO of the Security Innovation Network. They're based in California. They have a show in town this week called the CINET. S-I-N-E-T. Robert, before the break, we talked about a lot of different topics. Go to your website, which, of course, is security-innovation.org. You find out that you have these things called the Security Trust, Security Exchange, and the IT Security Forum. Perhaps for the benefit of our listeners, you can maybe differentiate between these three capacities.
Sure, absolutely. So the forum takes place at Stanford University every year. We're going into our fifth year. That started as a project to bridge the cultural gaps between Silicon Valley and the Beltway. And what we do is we bring representatives from the government to Stanford to present. So everyone from General Alexander has come out, the Minister of Defense of Estonia, other cybersecurity leaders from DOD, DNI, NSA, DHS, and also some venture capitalists and industry CISOs. The focus there is to share knowledge and information that will help bridge those cultural gaps and increase awareness between the buyers and the builders. And the audience is comprised of again, that ecosystem of the entrepreneur, law firms, industry, government, entrepreneurs, integrators, et cetera. What we do at the showcase is to reverse the role, coast to coast, putting the entrepreneurs on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it kind of flip-flop.
So if one of my listeners is intrigued with a small problem, let's say security of mobile devices, they can attend the show and maybe listen to maybe a new take on it that no one's ever thought of before, something innovative, something that really is a new model.
That's an interesting space. I'm glad you brought that up. We have a database of over 1,200 large and small cap companies, mainly the emerging growth companies in the cybersecurity market. It's broken into 143 categories. The mobile device space has more than doubled in terms of companies in the last 14 months. So I think last year there was about 12 to 15. Now there's close to 30.
That's incredible.
A very, very hot space. I know that NSA and government and industry are very concerned about that space. So that will be a topic that we'll be discussing in March of 2011 at Stanford.
So this is supported by the DHS, is that correct?
Yes, Science and Technology Director Dr. Douglas Mann, who, by the way, was just promoted to run the entire cybersecurity S&T program for DHS.
Well, he must have a little bit of brain power there, huh?
Yes, he's getting some plus-ups, and rightfully so. I mean, anybody that's in the cybersecurity R&D market should be getting plus-ups. This is a very dynamic environment. We're being out-innovated. The adversaries move much faster than we do. They don't have the hurdles that we have in the government or industry, such as corporate governance, budgets, privacy, ethics, bureaucracy, morals, et cetera.
Yes, they're much more agile in some ways. We have to respond. So we have the 20 companies that are going to present. A lot of different topics going to be presented there. People in the audience can lift their hand up and ask some specific questions, can't they?
Yes, each company is going to have 9 minutes, and we actually provided coaching for them on their presentation so we could get right down into the specifics and sound bites that provide value.
You know, what I like about attending these events is that, for example, if Robert Rodriguez is presenting and I'm sitting in the back of the room and he says something that's compelling, I can grab him afterwards and say, hey, you said something about this. I want to know more. And that's really the great part of the whole show there, isn't it?
Yes, and so the 20 companies, and we don't charge the companies to present. This is an opportunity. It was they had to apply, and then they were selected, but they get a booth, a little table, and if people have interest, whether they're venture capitalists or investment bankers or integrators or whoever, they'll have plenty of time to network and discuss what that company has been providing.
You know, I have a lot of friends who work for government contractors in this area here, and many times they may be involved in, let's say, a security endeavor and may have some sticking points, and I'm trying to beat around the bush here. And these sticking points may be solved through some of this innovation there. So if you're working for maybe supporting the government here and you're listening to the show and you scratch your head saying, well, geez, how am I going to secure an iPad? Or what about this mobile device? Maybe I can go to the CINET showcase and maybe I can grab someone there and come up with something creative. I mean, there's so many new ways to attack. There's got to be new ways to defend, too.
Well, that goes to the new models that we need to embrace, the open innovation. Collaboration between academics, scientists, industry, small business, the integration community. Let's say that one of the large integrators has part of the solution, but this company on stage has the other part, and then Stanford or MIT has been working on a fourth part. It starts with increasing awareness of who's doing the research in a specific field and who has a particular solution that is beneficial to the whole product.
And that's what your nonprofit does. It provides a forum for this wide divergence of folks to get together. Someone from MIT, someone from Stanford, someone from a local technology company, someone from a technology company in Texas, they get together, bang, they can figure out a solution.
Well, you're right. It is connecting, the buyer, the builder, the researcher, and the investor, all in one forum, coast to coast.
There are two topics that have popped up here just lately. One is this Facebook privacy issue and some apps that do mobile analytics for handheld devices. These are just in the last 2 days. I mean, these are security concerns, I think, for many of my listeners. And if these have just popped up in the last 2 days, what's going to happen between now and the end of the year? I mean, there's no way to forecast where this little road's going to lead, is there?
No, it's... I mean, if we understood the internet, we'd be able to fix it.
If we understood it, huh?
And, you know, now we're moving into the cloud environment. Business processes and what have you drive change.
Sure. I've done a lot of public speaking in my day, and many times the transition is the hardest part. Someone introduces you, you stand up at the lectern, and you transition to someone else. That transition is always hard in media, in television, radio, and in public speaking, and I guess in technology, because right now all this innovation is bombarding us, and it's very difficult to make that transition from one secure environment to another secure environment with this new technology. This whole managing change is very difficult.
It is monumental, and the more I learn about the challenges of the internet and domestic and international, and I like liken it to the laws of sea created by the Dutch in 1609, and how many years did it take to identify safe harbors and design international zones for commerce, etc. I would say that the internet will be much more challenging to solve and to create these international policies that are going to be needed.
Yeah, that was back when Canada could fire 3 miles, so that was your border, 3 miles from the land, wasn't it, in 1609?
Now there's no border.
Now there's no borders. We know that, that's for sure. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. Welcome back. Today we're speaking with Robert Rodriguez, CEO of the Security Innovation Network. They have a show in town this week called the SINET, the SINET Showcase. They take 20 new innovative security companies and put them up there for you to take a look at and talk to and interact with and see if they might be able to solve some of your problems. You going to be in town here for this conference, Robert?
Yes. I come in Sunday. I'll spend there. I'll spend a week, 2 days at the press club, 26th, 27th. Yes.
That's great. Yeah, I'm always encouraging my listeners to go face-to-face. And you can get a whole lot more done than through email or telephone conversations or maybe even the radio.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure. I want to talk about a person named Karen Evans. She's very well known in this town. She had a white paper come out just last week, and she talks about workforce issues that involve security and saying, look, the gap is in people with the skill set to be able to handle security issues as well as some of the technology. So gaps everywhere. No lack of gaps here, are there?
No, and what Karen is on to is she's absolutely right. We basically almost have the analogy would be the nurse shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So the subject matter expertise, this space, the internet is so dynamic, is moving so fast that we're having a difficult time hiring subject matter experts all across the board. And I'm talking not only just from the system integration community. DHS wants to hire 1,000 people. The industry is looking to hire very, very talented and bright people. But let's talk about the prosecutors all the way up to magistrates and judges that are having to prosecute these crimes that continue to increase. So it's not just, integration or government or industry expert. It's to include your law enforcement community, federal, state, and locals.
And it is changing so quickly, it's hard to have expertise in any of this that's not just temporary or not sliding.
Moves very, very fast.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question about a movie now, movie reviews. In Minority Report with Tom Cruise, he would walk through a mall and the advertisements would change according to his presence. And that's what's going on with some mobile devices. Some mobile devices are developing this ability called geolocation and know where you're at. Now, tell you what, if I were working for the federal government and I had some people with portable devices, I would start worrying about all these new apps, these mobile devices. I mean, it's just, I just can't get over all the changes here with security and mobile devices.
Well, the increase of the importance of privacy in a marriage with security is moving forward. And there's a balance there of privacy and security. For example, when I was in the Secret Service, the White House staff wanted to expose the president. Well, we always wanted to keep him encumbered or hidden. And there was, you know, large discussions on that. And so at some point you have to have that balance. The same thing with security and privacy. There needs to be a balance. And I think that privacy is going to be driving very, very fast moving forward.
No doubt about it. So we have a Signet Showcase coming in town, 20 new innovative companies, a lot of people there, a lot of federal IT program managers, maybe some contractors asking questions. What happens next? What's your view after the show? I mean, people get connected up. You're providing the forum, kind of like a hook up or a tweet up here, huh?
Yeah, so our goal is here to just stand in the name of promoting small business growth, innovation, enhanced awareness of available technologies into both federal and industry critical infrastructures, the command and control systems, to serve as a catalyst between federal agencies, industry, integrators, innovators, entrepreneurs, investment bankers, venture capitalists, academics, law enforcement, and scientists, all in the U.S. security company. So if we have one investment, one partnership, an acquisition or purchase that results from our efforts, then we all win.
And everyone wins. I win. If I lived in Ohio, I had nothing to do with this, I'd win because the security of my information stored in the federal government is probably more secure, isn't it?
We hope so. That's right.
That's great. So what can you foresee happening? Do you think maybe some companies will connect with other companies, they merge, or what kind of relationships normally happen after an event like this?
Typically, products are purchased.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's a lot of small case scenarios where, for example, I ran into a CEO in D.C. in October last year, and he says, hey, I want to thank you for putting on the forum at Stanford University, and happened to meet one of the leaders at NSA, and he invited me back for a pilot. I got my clearances for my team, and next thing you know, they bought my product. And I said, that's fantastic. It makes me very happy because that's really what our objective is. And I said, where's your company based? He said, we're in Reston, Virginia. The point is he had to go all the way to Stanford University to get a meeting at the fort.
Yeah.
Well, we can do better than that.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about some local companies. A few local companies, FuturePoint, Global Velocity, InfoAssure, Looking Glass, Sitescape. A lot of these companies are in the Washington, D.C. area, but these are the minority compared to companies from everywhere from Texas to California, all kinds of different companies, aren't there?
You know, companies came from all over, even Canada. And next year we want to open it up globally. And I think we're going to have a lot more applications. The challenge is the vetting committee has to work a little harder in the review.
Yeah.
But it's still it's a good challenge, a good thing to have. We cannot, when it comes to innovation, we cannot afford to leave any stone unturned.
This is the first year for this event?
Yeah, this is the inaugural showcase.
Well, great. I hope it is very successful and you have many more shows in the future. And I guess the objective here is not the shows, is profitably be able to control security in a reasonable manner in the future, maybe through this forum. That would be the objective, I would think, in the long run.
Yeah, in terms of management, we're not trying to boil the ocean. We're trying to take an incremental approach,
mm-hmm.
and to empower people to look at new models, to new ways of thinking, enhance their awareness of what's available in the marketplace.
Great. Thanks for your time today, Robert. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Robert Rodriguez, CEO of the Security Innovation Network. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Tradition never graduates, so make your plans with family and friends to spend the day in Annapolis with Navy football for homecoming Saturday, October 30th at 3:30 p.m. Cheer on the midshipmen in the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium as they hit the gridiron against the Duke Blue Devils. Presented by SAIC USAA, and Verizon Wireless. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Enjoy fall in Annapolis with friends and family and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they take on Duke Saturday, October 30th at 3:30. Presented by SAIC, USAA, and Verizon Wireless. Don't miss out on all the Navy football excitement, where tradition never graduates. Order your tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY or NavySports.com.